Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. You know, Mapalo, one of the most common questions we get, especially at City Press, and I think you and I get it as well on our Facebook pages and on Twitter, is how do I pay off my debt? How do I get debt free? And I think for many people, that is, it's like they're faced with this absolute monster of all this debt, the store cards, the credit cards, the car finance, and they just kind of can't get their head around how to actually do this. And you've written this great article, which is about, you know, how to pay off your debt. So I thought maybe we can just go through that, like take people and listeners through that sort of step by step.
Step by step. Yes, yes. And Maya, you mentioned, you know, I think a lot of the times people just feel very overwhelmed. And that's where they can't really dig their heads deep in and say, you know what, I am going to pay off this debt. And for me, I just wanted to really show people that it's very easy with these steps. So the first one, know how much debt you have. You know, you think that it's a very simple, straightforward thing to think about. But a lot of the times, for example, when I ask people, do you know who you owe, right? And they're kind of like, I have a vague idea. You know, so knowing how much debt you have and who you owe is hugely, hugely important.
You know, I must say, you know, I put this out on Facebook the one day. I said, I wanted to test out a new debt repayment app. And I said, you know, could you tell me, you know, how much your debt is, what your repayments are and what your interests are? No one could do that. No one actually knew. And then they have to go back to their statements. They couldn't find their interest. They didn't know.
So it's they don't know where to look.
They don't know where to look. Yeah.
Right.
So that's actually sometimes the hard part. And it sounds so obvious. Know what debt you owe. What is outstanding? Especially, so a lot of people know maybe what's going on with their bank account. They can check their bank statement, but they actually don't know what that total amount is and how much interest
and how
they're
much
paying.
Interest they're paying.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I mean, I think that's critical. Mm.
Yeah, I think it's just a general thing that I'm getting. Whether it's paying off car, whether it's your house, whatever debt you have, I think a lot of people are so fixated on the installment amount and they don't take into consideration everything else, you know, what makes up this installment amount. So knowing what, how much debt you have and who you have it with, so the interest amount, who the debt is with, is so, so important. So
and that also is your when, and when you think you, it's going to be paid off based on the current repayment profile. Yeah. So I think that's a very important part as well. And then, okay. So now you've done all that work. Which does take time, by the way, people, this is not clicking your fingers. This is pulling out those statements, facing the reality. Maybe you need to take a glass of wine. maybe you need to take some rescue tablets, but you've got to face the reality. And now that you've faced the reality and you've written it all down, what's the next step?
Okay, so now the next step is find the money, right?
That's the easy part.
And remember, I actually wrote an article about this in City Press, I think about 2-3 weeks ago, where to find money in your current budget. So maybe it's a good idea to go back to that article. But basically, looking at your current budget and saying to yourself, where is this money going to come from? You don't want to be in debt, so you need to find money to get out of debt, right? You find yourself in this situation. So is it going to come off by me cutting down on the grocery? Some subscriptions have to go. What steps are you going to take to find money in your current budget?
And I think it's so interesting. You know, I've just finished Money Makeover. So for the listeners who don't know what Money Makeover is, it's a 6-month kind of money boot camp that we take some City Press readers through. And we took, in this case, we had 5 women who completed the Money Makeover boot camp. And in 6 months, they paid off their short-term debt. It's actually quite a remarkable story. You can go and read about it on City Press. But what was so interesting is how much money they found in their budgets after telling us they had no money. I think we discussed Amanda. We've discussed her before on the podcast. You said she's trying to raise 3 children on a single salary after her husband passed away. And she said, there is no money in my budget. I don't go and do takeaways. I don't buy those coffees. I have no money. And she found 2,500 rand in her budget. So it's always, do not tell us there's no money in your budget.
You know what, Maya? On a personal level, right? I used to sort of be like, my budget is kind of fixed. I'm I'm very good with my money, but I knew that there was still leakage in my budget, right? And I went to the extent of using the envelope system. This is where I, for especially for entertainment, I love eating out. My husband and I really love eating out.
Yep, so we had on to, that page.
We had to cut back on that. And for that, every month I have this white envelopes, right, in my house that I put money in there. I know whether it's 2,000, 3,000, I know that's the only amount that we'll spend on eating out. And if it's finished, well, then it's finished. So yeah. There is always money in your current budget.
And we actually use, we used to use envelope when we needed to get out of debt. And I've written about that in my book. But we now use 227, the 227 app, and we put spend on it. And it warns us when we're 50% of our eating out budget. And then we have to make some hard choices, which sometimes we don't. I have to confess.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. But so listen, we people who manage their money look at their budgets. It's very simple. Yeah, that's very okay. So now you've found, hopefully, even if it's $200, even the R500, you've gone back, found that extra money. And now how do you tackle this like big lump sum that you owe these people?
All right. So remember step one, you went to look at how much you do, how much do you owe, how much interest they're charging you, where's this money going, right? So now you have to decide on a strategy to say, am I going to pay this debt? The first option you can take is pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first, right? So you've written down, a credit card, personal loan, overdraft, you name it, you've written it down, and next to it, in another column, write the interest amount that you owe. So with paying the, so with this, it makes you realize which debt is has the highest interest rates, right? So the debt with the highest interest rate effectively is the one that that is costing you the most, right? So that's the one that you will try to focus all your energies on, put a bit extra money into it, so that as soon as it's eliminated, you go to the next highest interest rate until all the debt is paid off.
Right. So then, and so that is that's kind of your debt repayment on interest rate. And what we often find is that the debt with the highest interest rate tends to be what, it's your credit cards, usually your personal loans, your store cards. So because there is the other strategy, of course, is looking maybe not at the highest interest rate, but at that psychological win. That's the snowball effect.
Yes, 100%. And for me, I always say, what the strategy that you will use, I know the paying off the one with the high interest rate makes more sense. It makes more financial sense because it costs you more. But the psychological one where you're paying the smallest one first and you're saying, okay, after I've paid the smallest one first, I will take those funds and put them to what's the next smallest debt. I find that people actually stick to it more than, going for the highest interest rate one first, right? Because people want to feel like, oh, actually, I did this, I actually completed this task. It makes you feel good and it keeps you motivated. So the snowball method, I think also it's one to really take a look into.
And I think the other thing, the snowball method, is that you're able to, because it's small, you can pay it off quickly. So maybe it's a store card that you accelerate and you paid it off in 3 months. Now suddenly you've got that installment that you were paying to that store card, plus the extra you're putting in. You take that and you hit the next debt. And that's that snowball effect of it getting bigger. Snowball runs down. I think in South Africa, snowball effect's like a really stupid word. But a snowball, as it rolls down a slope, increases in its size because it's picking up snow. So it's that sort of idea that, maybe it's R1,000 into the store card, but then you use that R1,000 and you add it to the R500 that you, or the R2,000 that you're paying into your credit card. So now you're paying R3,000 into your credit card. And that's the way you slowly but surely eliminate it. So I think that that's where that whole kind of concept of the snowball effect works. Also, there's so many apps actually available, and even web-based kind of spreadsheets that you can use to load up and do the snowball effect or the highest interest rate. And I actually posted two on my Maya on Money Facebook page because I need people to test them out. You and I have a problem. We don't have debt. So it's hard for us to test this out. So please, we would really love it if you did test these out. But the one is unbury.me. So that's and like unbury me from the earth. Yeah,
unbury me from all this debt.
Yeah, yes. And that is, it's web-based. It is, yes, people, it is an American, so it will show dollars, but it still does the same thing. You just put in all your details. And the other one is Debt Manager. And I have actually got Debt Manager. I've downloaded that on my phone. The problem with Debt Manager, it's only for Apple. So you have to have an Apple. I have downloaded it, and I have had readers sending me the information.
And is it a South African one?
No, it's also American. So my little plan is, of course, to try and get the South Africanized. But I want to know from our listeners if they find these things useful, because what they're great is you put in the information. You do have to collect the information first, but then you can put in, this is how much my outstanding balance is, this is my interest rate, and this is what I'm currently paying.
Yes.
And you load all of your debt repayments, and then it says how much more could you add every month? And you can put an extra 1,000 rand. And it says, do you want to do the highest interest first or debt or snowball? And you select that, and then it actually tells you what to do, and it tells you the date that you will be out of debt.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice.
Very nice.
That can be so brilliant, Maya, because I find, especially for me and people that I've coached, when you have some sort of a due date or a deadline for yourself to say, you know what, by this date, I'll be out of debt, it gets people really, really excited. So
absolutely. So please go test those out for us. It's unbury.me, and that's the web-based one, so that's easy enough to use. If you have an iPhone, Debt Manager, I've used, and I would really love the feedback, because I think we can even get people maybe to chat to us on this podcast about their experience.
Yes, that would be fun. Maya, there's been a lot of press around this issue of SANRAL and ETOLs and how, if it's going to affect your credit score. People are panicking. But you went out to find the information for us to know exactly what is happening.
I chatted to the Credit Bureau Association to find out actually the truth behind this, because technically SANRAL is an entity that is allowed to put your information onto a credit bureau, because any organ of the state, court or judicial officer can, any provider of a continuous service is allowed to, anyone providing long-term and short-term insurance is able to, even educational institutions are allowed to. So why is it that the credit bureaus are coming back saying, no, we're not holding this information? And it's actually got to do with, they feel that in the case of ETOLs, it doesn't actually affect your affordability. So people aren't not paying their ETOLs because they can't afford to, which is the information they're trying to hold on the credit bureau, right?
Yes.
So they're saying, no, you know, it's not going to affect, it doesn't mean you can't afford to, you've made a choice not to pay that. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to get into the ethical, moral discussion, but they're not going to.
And we will be there.
Exactly. And to be perfectly honest, I think they're playing the political game here. They just don't actually want riots outside their door, because imagine if you're getting turned down for credit because of your ETOLs.
Because you didn't pay ETOLs.
Yeah. Exactly. So SANRAL would love to have that data on the credit bureaus, because it would obviously encourage people then to pay their ETOLs. But the credit bureaus are saying, you know what? That's kind of using a stick approach, whereas we're saying this information is for banks and other credit providers to make good decisions. And we don't think ETOLs necessarily fall into that. The other one they also said, for example, is SABC TV licenses. And SABC TV licenses, similar situation, but also they said the quality of data from the SABC TV licenses is so poor, they can't really rely on it.
Yeah.
Which brings me to municipality.
And municipal?
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yes. So as you know, lots of outstanding municipal debt. Lots. There's certain suburbs that owe huge amounts of money. And the head of the Credit Bureau Association, Alison McGrath, said, we would love to put municipal information on, because some people are actually negatively affected by the perception of not paying municipal bills, and they actually are. But again, quality of data. I mean, you were saying, you know, the quality of data from municipalities is a huge challenge.
Huge challenge. I mean, I know in one of the properties where I used to work, they were charging them a ridiculous amount. Per their rating, what they had put them under was completely incorrect. So you could have a bill of R1 million when actually your bill should be 100,000. So.
Exactly. And I spoke to one of the credit bureaus, TransUnion, and they said, we just don't want to spend all our days dealing with disputes. So the quality of information, and that is a huge challenge, I think, for the credit bureaus. And the last point I just wanted to make about your credit, about the blacklisting on these credit bureaus, is that only people, and I mentioned them, courts, service providers, who provide ongoing payment information. So, you know, you have an ongoing payment agreement with them, can actually post a negative listing in terms of non-payment on your profile, right?
Yes.
These guys, you know, when you sign up for a trading platform or a Forex platform and you've committed to 1,000 rand a month or 10,000 rand a month and you realize it's a bit of a scam, you're not making any money and you say, I'm not carrying on. They get aggressive and they say, we're going to blacklist you. That is, they cannot do that. They're not part of the credit bureau system. So don't allow those tactics to stop. You know, if you're getting nervous, you think these guys are scamsters and they start getting really aggressive about blacklisting you, they actually can't. The only time they could post something negative on your credit score is if they've gone to court and they've got a judgment against you. Then they can, then they could. But that's a long way and they're not going to go and do that. So,
As soon as you know your rights. Yes, as soon as you show them that you know your rights, they'll just flee in the opposite direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know also just to end off, this figure absolutely shocked me. If people, you can get a free credit score every year from each bureau. There are six bureaus, which technically means six times a year, every second month, you can go to a credit bureau and find out your credit record. Do you know how many people choose to do this out of the credit active South Africans? 3%. 3%. So we have people,
not 30, not double digits.
Nothing. 3% of people actually go and check their credit records. So if you are over indebted, if you're getting turned down for debt, if you're having issues, go at least and go and check your credit record. And of course, the whole ID theft. It's free. Take control. You know, it's like knowing your cholesterol level, okay? Oh no, your credit score. It'll be good for your financial health. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.